and welcome to this episode of All or Nothing with Nicole and Heather. We are so glad you're here. We're going to be talking about Lent today and just kind of like dive deeper into what helps us during Lent, like preparing for Lent and kind of going into Lent with an idea, a plan, because I feel like Lent can be so much better when you have a plan. And so to start like thinking about that and what are we going to do? And so we're going to talk about that today and kind of like what different ideas of maybe sacrifices and almsgiving and fasting and things like that that the Catholic Church encourages us to do during this Lent season. And so how are you doing, Nicole?
Very good. Yes. How about
Yeah.
you?
I'm doing good. I think I'm ready. I'm excited for this Lent season coming up, and I do look forward to every season, you know, whether it's Advent or Lent. Like when I have a plan, I feel like that's where I can really grow because I go in with a plan. Whereas there before I did YouTube, I'm not gonna lie, I would just like jump into it like, oh, what should I give up? Chocolate. Okay, you know, but now it kind of forces me to like really think about these things. And I love it. I'm so excited to get closer to God during the season. And I feel like he does do a lot of really good, deep, like cleaning of my soul during the Lent season. So I'm excited for that. So Nicole, I was wondering, like, what do you feel like God's speaking to your heart about this Lent season coming up? Is there anything that you want to share with us that is helping you to go deeper with Christ?
Yeah, you know what? I've been really thinking about it. It's coming up really fast. Like next Wednesday is I guess when this episode comes out, it will actually be Ash Wednesday. So we're a week away, and I've been just really like, oh, I really need to prepare. So I've been thinking a lot about how like what are some things in my life, and hopefully this can help everyone out there that is getting in the way of my relationship with God. And I know that I tick my the boxes of the day. I try to go to mass and have some prayer time and pray the rosary, which are all very good things. But if I'm being honest, like I could just kind of do those things and not really grow and advance in my faith. So Lent is a great time for me, if I take it seriously, to say like what can I do better? Because God doesn't need us to fast. Like it's not for him, it's for us, and it's for us to grow in holiness, and the goal is heaven. So that Lent is not just an arbitrary like checklist to just give something up to punish us, to take away things that we love. It's actually a longing, taking away things that were our comforts to like long for him and get right order. So as I was praying today, I actually was able to go to adoration this morning. I don't always get to go and mass. And as I was sitting there, the parable of the sower came up, and just thinking about like how God wants to plant seeds in all of us, but it's like the soil, like where you know the deep work of tilling the soil so that we can have fertile soil and not just rocky ground. And what struck me was of the rocky ground. So the parable is Matthew 13, verse 1 to 9, if anyone wants to look that up. And then later, like later in the chapter, it shows more explaining the parable. But I really resonated with the rocky soil, that when the seed falls, like you get excited and you understand it, but then it sort of can die and at times just like burn up because it's the roots are not deep enough. And I was just thinking that the Lord really wants us to root up the things within us during this time, and like and hope to continue it, not just for the 40 days of fasting, but to grow closer to him. So I was just thinking, I want to share this with you guys out there, like what are things in the way? And I just want to some of the things that get in my way is, you know, sometimes just looking for comfort other than God. And I turn to many different things, not even being aware, such as like turning on TV. And I've been convicted because there's times where I've like turned onto a channel of reality TV, and I'm someone who's striving in my faith, and I've got caught up in even like shows that I'm like, why am I watching this? You know, or just even if it's a good show on HGTV, it's like I could be better doing better things with my time. And there's nothing wrong with watching TV, but there are times where I should be shutting it off and I should be having a personal prayer time, and I don't. So it's like, okay, you know, maybe it's shutting the TV off. You know, do we turn to wine in the evenings for comfort? Are we turning to food for comfort? You know, whatever it is, like the Lord podcasts, listening to music? Do we have any silence in our day? These are things that I've been thinking about where I feel like the Lord wants to quiet our souls to hear from him, and Satan wants to keep us busy with noise and even doing good things. But if we're not making time for him each day, then we're not growing, even if we're doing all the things. So I just, yeah, I guess that's sort of where I'll start, is just sort of like what do we turn into for comforts, and like being convicted that the Lord wants us to turn to him first. Not, there's nothing inherently wrong with any of those things, but if that's our go-to before the Lord, then we're out of order. And I think that Lent is all about reordering our time, our priorities, and putting him first. So that's what really is like the first thing I'll share, is what kind of came up for me. And that's individual for all of you, and everyone will, like, you know what that is. And it's usually the one thing you really don't want to give up. It's like, oh no, I'll give up broccoli, instead, because, or it's like something we like, but it's not, again, it's not about punishment, but if there's something that you can offer that fat as a fast for, then it's very powerful, and it will help you grow. So basically, you'll get what you give. If you put a lot into the Lent, you God will is so never outdone in generosity. He will fill you and fill us with his grace, with growth, and we'll come closer to him. So I just will start with that. So those are my first ideas. What about you, Heather?
Those are amazing. I agree. I feel like that is so such a good point. Like what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And I think sometimes we're afraid to go deep with God. And I do feel like Lent is my time where I really want to go deeper. And I strive to go deeper, but then I like put up this wall of like, oh, that's too deep. I don't want to go there yet. And I think this year I'm going to try not to do that. I'm going to try to just be as vulnerable with God as I can be and be as open as I can be. And I think that that's where the growth comes from. I feel like also like you were saying, like reality TV and all these things, like they're not like necessarily bad, but it's a great way into like holiness, right? Like I feel like Mother Mary probably wouldn't watch reality TV, And so like you think about the saints and they turned it on probably to the highest it could go, And I think that that's so good. So I think that that's important to see or think about is like, what is it like would saints do? And that's what we're all striving to do, right? Something that our family does that I felt like it was going to be too much. And that was we started the rosary and it was like the family rosary and it was great. But I started with the 40 days because I was like, if it's a total flop, at least we did it for 40 days. We tried and then, we could try again next Lent. And so we did it and it went actually well. I mean, my kids were not perfect at it or anything like that, but it was like, okay, we could do this every night. And so now, and then Lent ended, and my husband and I are like, let's just keep doing it. And so we did. And now we pray the family rosary. So it's like those things that you're like, maybe this is something I could continue after Lent too, because it was so good and so rich for us. And so just going a little bit deeper and being a little bit vulnerable and doing the things that you think you might not be able to do, I think is you'll be surprised the grace that God will give you. I was also thinking that like for Lent, like sometimes I go a little overboard. I'm not gonna lie, where I just like spin in, like I just like add more and I'm like, oh, I should give up this too. And it's like just a bunch of no. But I'm not like letting it actually like help me go deeper. And so I think sometimes, like for me, I tend to go into like a mini depression during Lent. And that, like, almost every year I do that. And I think it's because I give up too much. I do too much. And I'm not even going deeper. It's just that I'm like pretty much like just hazing myself in a sense, And so I think there is a balance that you need to figure out what is my balance where I can still go deeper with God. And that it is not like overwhelming to me, especially in your phase of life. Like when I was a young mom with very little children, I was so overwhelmed and consumed with life in general that and I would give up these big things during Lent, and like it sounded great and I wanted it to be great, but it was like I was hazing myself. I was just like torturing myself. And God's like, no, it's okay. Like, lighten up a little bit, Heather, And so I had to like figure out like what is the balance? Like, I do want it to be challenging. I do want to grow closer to God, but I also don't want to overwhelm myself, to the point where it's not even good for me or my soul. So there does like need to be a balance in that too. And I think everyone needs to figure out what that balance is, because we, like I said, we do want to challenge ourselves. It's not like let's have this a fun, easy Lent. Like, we do want to challenge ourselves and walk the passion of Christ with him. But there are limits, to all of us and stuff too, to be realistic about it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's really great. And I love that. Just like continuing. And I think that's the goal, is not just getting rid of something for 40 days, but adding something that can that can stay in your life. And
Yeah.
that's going to be a blessing. Because I mean, the rosary outside of the mass is a second most powerful prayer that the church has, a meditation on the life of Christ with his mother. So like, what a gift that you're doing with your family by bringing her and entrusting all of your needs to Mary. It's She's the best mama out there.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. And that's one thing I was going to mention too, is that I don't know about everyone else, but I have had times where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna, exercise, I'm gonna discipline my, do all these things, read this book, do this novena, go to adoration every day. And it's sometimes when we bite off more than we can chew, we're not successful, and then we can get really discouraged and just throw everything out the window. So I had a priest tell me once, like, do one thing really well. Like, and not that we have other things to add to that, but it's like, what do you think is the number one thing that you can go closer to God with this Lent? Like what? So I sort of kind of came up with different, like three different things, which is part of the church, which is fast from something. So choose one thing to fast from, and you know exactly which one it is. I know as soon as you say, like, there's usually something. It's either social media, it's like wine, it's food, there's like, or something specific. And then add one thing into your life. So maybe you do one holy hour a week that you haven't been able to do. And maybe that can continue after Lent, or adding a daily mass into your week. Trying to go to weekly confession, even if you're not in serious sin, just to kind of keep the dust out of our souls, and just kind of really be intentional about that. And then, like, just giving either of our time. Maybe there's someone that you need to visit more. Maybe you have a grandparent that lives close by that you haven't spent a lot of time with that's lonely, or writing a letter to somebody, like giving your time, or like donating to someone, to like a pregnancy center, or the Sisters of Charity, or whatever, like something that would bless the world. So those are sort of some things that I was thinking about, where I still have to pray exactly what I'm going to do, but I was like fasting from something, adding something, and then giving of my time and talents or treasure. What are your thoughts, Heather?
Yeah, and I agree. All of those are, the church asks us to do those, and I think that that is great. And so for me, I realized a couple years ago that if you do a 54-day rosary novena on Ash Wednesday, that by Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the Sunday after Easter, the 54-day is like that's the 54th day. And so I do an extra rosary, and that has been so powerful. Like, the 54-day rosary novena is amazing, and it's powerful in of itself. If you don't know how to pray the rosary, I encourage you to learn. I have over on A Catholic Mom's Life how to pray the rosary. Like, I go really in depth. I pray with you. But it is so powerful, and it's so beautiful, because you are walking the life of Christ with Mary. It's like, it's so amazing. This year I'm going to be doing Restore. This is Sister Miriam. So I'm excited for that, because there's like journaling in it, and it kind of, I just love Sister Miriam to begin with. So I'm very excited about that. And so there's definitely, for me, there's things like homemaking things that chores I don't like that I avoid like the plague, right? Like laundry, it just never ends. And so I'd much rather do dishes or, do all the other things, but eventually my kids run out of clothes and so I have to do them. But it is something that I'm like, maybe I should do a load a day. That could be like my Lenten, sacrifice for my family. Things like that, chores you don't enjoy doing, little things like that really do mean a lot to God as well. But like dying to ourself is so important. Like that is something that our culture does not teach, right? It's all about you, what you want, feeding ourselves and like just like the junk of the world. But when we empty ourselves out, like we are able to grow in holiness so much more. Like there's more room for God to speak to us. Like you said, having just silence. One of my good friends, she was talking about how she gave up like listening to podcasts during Lent. And she said, or like music or anything while she was doing her chores and stuff. She said, it was the most painful thing I've ever done in my life. She's like, 5 minutes seem like 3 hours, like just having silence. And I'm like, I feel like that's so true in our culture today because we are constantly filling the silence with some type of noise, and it's not necessarily always bad noise, but it's still noise that we can't hear God. And so just little things like that, I think will make a huge difference in our relationship with God during this Lent season, and I feel like I can tell for myself, I'm starting to crave silence. Like I want to crave silence. My soul wants that. The other part of me doesn't, but the soul does. And there's a reason for that. It's because that's where we'll hear God, and that's where we'll find just the peace that we long for within our soul. So that's my goal. This Lent season is just more silence and being with Christ in that silence.
Yeah. And I'm definitely guilty. And I have a hard time with silence. So silence is something I always try to fill. I do fill the noise, but I know that I need this, even though I'm listening to really good Catholic podcasts or, but when I sit in silence, especially like if you can, not everyone's able to go to a church or sit in front of the tabernacle, but when I sit there, I'm like, why am I not doing this? Because I'm restless and I'm trying to like just, even if I have a bath or I'm trying to relax, it's not the same as sitting in silence. And just even like quiet and then bringing like with the Lord, just sitting. It's so true, Heather. And I'm guilty, and it's something I have to work on is realizing I'm just filling the day with noise. And I think we have to ask ourselves, what am I avoiding here? Like, what is making me uncomfortable with silence? And I think we avoid it partially because we want to hear from the Lord, but especially if you don't have your vocation yet, you might be like, oh, what's he going to say to me? Or, we can just sort of, or he might just be wanting to bring up some wounds of things that we need to work on. And we don't want to go there yet. So I think the Lord is asking us, like, don't be afraid, like, sit in this silence. I'm with you. And that's the one thing I was going to say too about wounds is that it's really kind of lately I've been realizing a lot of like our same sins, our same habitual sins that we can confess the same things over and over. I'm like, why am I doing this? And I've realized that a lot of times it's unhealed wounds. So some of the, if I'm impatient or I snap at my husband or whatever it is, I realize that it's coming from like, whether it's like trauma or it's coming from something within that's unhealed, that well, the Lord doesn't just want us to deal with the behavior. He wants us to go to why and to bring him there. And sometimes some people might need to go to counseling. You might need to meet with a priest or someone that you really trust. But to sit and really be real with the Lord in the wounds. And I think that that's where things get really real when we go deeper.
And that's where the healing actually happens too, is when we're allowed to allow ourselves to go into that wound, like that's where the healing will start. It's kind of like if we have a wound, like, on our arm or something, like it hurts at first, and it's like itchy and all of that, but that's like the healing taking place. And so that's kind of the same with our wounds. It's like it's hard to face them sometimes because maybe they are so traumatic. But that is where we can be free from it, is when we heal from it. And God wants to heal all of us.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're so right. And actually, that's really neat that you said that about a wound, because it's like if you do get a cut and you just throw a Band-Aid on it, but you don't actually clean it, just you fell in the dirt. The Lord, all he wants to do, and we avoid it, but it's like he wants to take off the Band-Aid. He wants to be the little polysporin and the little like cleaning it out to so that we don't have infection and it doesn't spread and fester. So it's scary, but like if we can allow him to come close, he'll never hurt us. He'll only bring peace. And sometimes there might be some things, and this is sort of something with me that's happened over the last few months, is that there was a wound that I thought I was fine with. And you might find, and I thought, okay, that happened. That was very difficult in my past. And you start to realize like, oh, I'm okay. And then the Lord started to bring up like, no, I'm not okay. Like I actually haven't really, and it's like, ooh, you want to kind of avoid, I thought I was fine. So some of you might have some things that you're like, oh no, I'm fine. I worked through that. But there might be another layer that he wants to go and to let the divine physician go and take care of that. Because it is a barrier between really receiving from the Lord. And I've realized that I actually put walls up because that I didn't even know I had, but it's preventing grace to flow, and it's not my fault, but it's there, and I want to move it. So anyway, those are something that I think the Lord really wants to go deeper and to not be afraid. I have a few things I'll just mention as ideas. One thing I want to mention is and this is probably the hardest one. I'll mention the hardest one first, is to offer this Lent for the person who's hurt you the most. And that doesn't mean letting someone off the hook. I think there's a real, I just know for me that, there's people that I'm still praying for every day in my rosary, that when I say their names, it still stings, and it's been like 2 years. But one thing is that if you're holding on to unforgiveness, we can fast, we can do all these things, but if we have hate in our heart for people, and we can't forgive, that is going to prevent us from growing in holiness. Now, that being said, you can't run ahead of grace. So if there's you the feelings of hate is actually not sinful. Like you can't help how you feel. But when we consent and start ruminate and going over it and then like really getting wound up and angry and like starting to fester, then that's where it becomes sinful. But feelings are not sinful. They're neither good nor bad. They just are there. So the way that I do that is like, Lord, I choose to forgive so and so. Please heal my emotions around this. Only you can heal this. I need you to heal the wound that this person has caused to me. That's all I can do. And there's been people I've prayed for that hasn't taken 2 years, but there's been more of a grace, but I know the Lord honors the fact that we choose to forgive. And I know that if I ever died, that the Lord could honestly say, I know you tried there. I know that this person really hurt you and you are choosing to forgive, but despite my feelings, if we wait for our feelings to come on board, we'll never forgive. So I just want to encourage you to that, and that doesn't mean the Lord is just, he will deal with that person. But for our peace, for your holiness, for your soul, choose forgiveness and pray for that person. There's a forgiveness rosary that my husband and I have done a couple of times where we actually take each bead and we'll pray for someone who's hurt us. So when I do a decade of the rosary, I'll say someone's name out loud. And it could be from like even childhood or a teacher or like just random like little like hurts with someone in our family, or and you pray for that person, and like it still doesn't take it all away because we're human and we can't like Heather was saying, we can't haze ourselves for the for fe their feelings. And some of us have been very deeply wounded, abused, like so it's like, how do you reconcile all this? But it's just letting the Lord do his job as God and letting us let go. And I heard this saying before, and you may have heard it, is unforgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. Yeah, it's like
Wow.
who we're
It's
actually.
so true, though.
Yeah. And I just know for me, and I've done that, and I've been like, going to daily mass, and then I have all this, and I haven't forgiven people. And so I really was like, whoa, I long for holiness and peace and heaven so much. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But I also know that if I'm being honest, I still have feelings of hatred at times with people who've hurt me that I still pray for. But I know I just offer those feelings to God be to purify them because I can't do it on my own. So I wanted to say that. Do you want anything you want to say about that first, Heather? Then I have some
No, I think
ideas.
that's so true. And I think sometimes we think that when we hold a grudge against somebody or hold on to that anger, like we have the power, but really we don't. Like it's the other person that has the power over us. And like that's not healthy. And that person might not even know that that even has affected them, or you know what I mean? Like they don't. They're thinking about, you know, something else that's not even in their realm. So you're right. Like, we do have to be careful, and we do need to forgive everybody and move on and, you know, heal, allow God to heal us. But yeah,
Yeah.
I agree.
Do you have any ideas that you want to share, like that of just, things that people might want to consider maybe fasting or?
Well, I was thinking like kind of like what you were saying, like giving up your bed. I feel like that's a good one. Not listening to music in the car, not watching TV, unless, you know, my husband and I once in a while will watch like a show at the end of the day because we're both exhausted, you know, something like that. But if it's just me, not to turn on the TV, giving up the news, if you love the news or, you know, the Real Housewives, whatever it is. And I think like seeing those things out of our life, I think might surprise us that we can deal with it and we're okay without having those things too. Like I said, it might be an extension after Lent if we realize that we can do it with God's grace.
No, that's really good. Some things that came up for me of just ideas. And again, like you have to ask the Lord if this is what he wants you to do. Yeah, to sleep on the floor, like especially if you're not married. If you're married, it might your spouse, it could affect them too, but just to sleep on the floor and or to give up your pillow. Warm showers or cool showers instead of really hot showers, and just offering that, especially if you struggle with lust or the sins of the flesh or like eating, like to discipline the flesh. That's just an idea that might be something that will help, sort of an external fast for something internal that we struggle with. No salt or extra condiments, like even just like adding like flavor, like hot sauce, and just like fasting from all the condiments, butter, all those things. Drinking water. I have a friend who only drinks water the entire Lent. So there's nothing else. And I'm like, ooh.
No.
So that's
Yeah.
beverage. And because she enjoys wine and coffee and stuff. So she just drinks water. So I thought that was really interesting. As Heather said, I wrote down to like no music in the car. And that can be a time where you are just having silence. And don't be worried if your brain gets distracted. It's very common as human beings. We have a million things, like as we're trying to pray or sit in silence, like, oh, what's for supper? Or I have to go pick up this. You just let it go and just let like just acknowledge it and just like, okay, and just when you find yourself distracted, just refocus. Saint Teresa of Avila really struggled with thoughts and racing thoughts during her prayer, and she'd get so discouraged, but she's like, okay, she just would kind of refocus and keep going. So don't let that discourage you. And then just, maybe like wearing a miraculous medal, it's sort of taking a or a crucifix, for example, just to kind of not just take a step out in boldness. Some of you maybe have fear about like people kind of wearing a crucifix or wearing a miraculous medal and having people kind of looking at you. I certainly get lots of looks when I'm wearing my miraculous medal or cross. So just something like that. And then, or like weekly confession, I think I was mentioning that too. So just those kind of things.
Or even like waking up 15 minutes earlier, you know, and praying. Like for me, my kids wake up early. And so waking up earlier to have time without anybody awake, I think that's important too. Like just to have those little things. And you can always ask God, like, God, what do you want me to give out? What would help me? And I think God will help you figure out what will help, you know. Have a good balanced Lent where you're growing as well. So with that being said, I think that we can kind of wrap it up with what our favorite thing was this from this week. So if you want me to share first,
Sure.
if you're on YouTube, you can see this, but I got this book. It's called All About Lent and Holy Week, and it is so good. I just got it, and it has so many, it's very visual. And it walks through just like different prayers and different things you can do as a family and why we celebrate. But there's like lots of pictures for little kids. But I think things like this is they're so good also for parents because it kind of gives us more of a gauge of how to talk to the kids. And so anyway, I'm really excited. I just got this week and I'm very excited about it. So that's my like thing that I'm excited about this week.
Okay. I have a couple of things. One is the warm weather in Florida, as I said, and I don't know if I said that in the beginning, but just as a Canadian, getting out of the minus 40 temperatures that we had last week and being here, it's very, very nice. So I'm really thankful to God to be able to be in Florida right now. The other thing I was just, I just want to encourage you guys maybe at the beginning of Lent is to watch there's the documentary All or Nothing by Sister Claire Crockett on her life. So you can kind of learn about why we chose the name. And I'm just so excited. I've watched it a few times now. So I just wanted to pass it on to you as maybe something to kind of kickstart your Lent. It was very inspiring for me to really be like, wow, she went like the transformation. And it wasn't overnight, but I just wanted to encourage you to watch the docu. It's on YouTube, All or Nothing, the story of Sister Claire Crockett.
Yeah, and I do have that on our website as well. If you go kind of towards the bottom of the page, you can watch the video too. It's from YouTube, but it's on our website if you're looking for an easy way to look it up. So anyway, thank you so much. I hope that you all have an amazing Lent this season and that you really do give it all to God. Like just God, what are you asking of me? Because He just wants you fully whole and ready for him. And what better way for the Easter season than to prepare our hearts now during this Lent season. So thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, we will see you later.